honestly, it's really hard to like not let, you know, other people's opinion to get into your head. But really, ultimately, the thing is, it is your life and it's on you to live it the way you want it to live.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
All right, good morning and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. My guest today is an author of the book Full-Time Freedom Formula. She's been a freelance copywriter for 3 years now, and she's written copy for 7- and 8-figure brands, both in UK and US markets. She's also written for, you know, places and personalities such as Mike Tyson, Tommy Chong, Turmeric Vitality, Miami MD, Autoimmune Institute, and so many, you know, so many more other clients and big and small brands alike. She's also been featured on Justin Goff's podcasts and is very well known in the copywriting and the marketing community. Her name is Lana Sova, and her story is fascinating, especially because she's known in the community to be this copywriter who just built her life out of freedom from her skills as a copywriter. And of course, knowing certain ways around basically life, not just copywriting. And English isn't her native language, but yet she was able to write for 7- and 8-figure campaigns in English. So I definitely am super curious to know about her story. And today she's going to teach us and tell us the story, actually, instead of teaching us, but really tell us her thoughts and her story about her quest for freedom. So today, that is our topic. Hey, Lana, how are you doing?
I am good. Wow. Thanks so much. That was awesome intro. I'm super excited to be here. Always wanted to be on your podcast. So dreams come true, right?
I know. And the funny thing about it is that you coming on my podcast was actually not based on freedom because I blackmailed you.
Oh, shit. I knew there was something up. I knew you didn't like me.
I know. It was, this is all a facade. We're not really like friendly out here. We blackmail guests to come into the show so we can bring you the best stories. But obviously I have my own selfish reasons why we should chat and why we should chat about this topic. But first, let's start. What is freedom to you? What does this word mean to you?
Freedom is such a great, that's such a great question. Well, for me, freedom really comes down to really one thing, which is the choice to be able to choose to, you know, go to places I want to go to whenever I want to, you know, to make as much money as I want to, you know, to set up my own prices, to work with clients that I want to live in places that I want to live or not to live there, right? So it's really the freedom of choice. And, you know, when you have freedom of choice, then obviously you have the location freedom and you also have the, you know, financial freedom as well.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with you. Freedom has a lot to do with having choices and at the same time having the power to make those choices and choose among all of these things. So, you know, a lot of people, most people follow a life that is kind of cookie cutter, right? So for you, how did it all start? How did your special want for freedom start? What ignited, you know, something must have ignited something in you, right?
Well, I mean, depends on how much time we have. We can go like all the way back in the days. But I would say it probably started with actually when I was a little girl. I loved reading National Geographic magazine. And I remember like I wanted to travel so badly, but because I grew up in the country that doesn't really have opportunities like America does, right, for pretty much anything, and I grew up fairly poor, so traveling wasn't an option. And then growing up, you know, seeing my friends kind of follow the cookie cutter, you know, lifestyle program, which is basically graduate high school, go to college, you know, get married, get a 9-to-5 job, and, you know, have kids, and that's about it. Maybe go on vacation once or twice a year, and there you have it. And growing up, for some reason, it just never really, you know, kind of like resonated with me a lot. So when I moved to the States, through different sort of, I've done a lot of stuff, you know, work-wise, but I kind of stumbled on being a fitness trainer, right? And at first it was very exciting because I seemingly was able to, you know, create my own schedule. But then when you start kind of going into fitness stuff more, then you realize that you really work on somebody else's terms, right? Like I was working at a commercial gym, which basically they had like a system of like, you know, how much you could make as a personal trainer. And then I was always working on my clients' terms, right? So like I could only work either super early in the morning because that's when they could, you know, work out before going to their 9-to-5, or it was some random times like 1 or 2 p.m. during the day with students, or it was later at night, you know, like 6, 7, 9 p.m. Plus, as a fitness trainer, you only make money when you train people, right? And so that meant that I couldn't travel whenever I wanted. I could only travel when, you know, like my clients were traveling, right? I could also could not really afford to get sick because, again, if you don't train clients, you don't make money. And we didn't really have like a sick day or like anything like that as a trainer. So I think through that, doing, you know, fitness coaching for 8 years, I knew that that wasn't the life that I wanted to live. And I was making a good money, but I just didn't have a life, right? So I didn't have a choice that I wanted to go anywhere whenever I wanted. So I would say probably that's where it kind of sort of at least desire started to develop.
Yeah, I see. So it seems like from what you're saying, we can choose a lot of things in life. And one of the major things that will kind of dictate our freedom is the job that we choose, or not necessarily a job, but the way that we make money, because money brings us all the other freedoms, right? And it's just the way the world works. So for me personally, I was also very unconventional when I started my journey into the job world, because I don't know if a lot of you know this, but if you have listen to me in my other podcasts or in the podcast where I was the guest and I was being interviewed, I always tell this story that I graduated college at 19. And even though I had a very good college resume, a lot of people didn't want to hire me, including my dream companies, because I was a teenager. And because of that, I was forced to look for other ways to make money. And then it just, so I had to be forced to think of unconventional ways. So basically, choosing the job that we would take on, or choosing the way that we make money, definitely has a big impact on our freedom. And I think in that life scenario, or that life era or something, you know, in your early 20s, that defines a lot of what happens for the rest of your life. So Lana, how do you say should we pick what we do for work? Maybe can you give us a little bit of a criteria, or some, can you describe like what would be a dream job to most of us that would give us like the best, our best chance at achieving personal freedom?
Well, that's a really good question, because unlike you, or maybe in a way kind of like you, like I was forced into doing what I'm doing right now, which turned out to be my dream job, which I had no idea. Because like when I was growing up, and you know, when you're little and people ask like, you know, like, well, who do you want to become when you grow up? Well, I wanted to be, you know, a nurse or a doctor like my grandma. Then I grew up and I was like, oh, I kind of like writing, which I had no idea that I actually did like it. But, you know, I was forced into doing what I'm doing right now through the sort of, you know, COVID happened, right? So it's my thing is always whenever somebody asks me a question like that is you, at least I am, and I don't know about you, Carla, but at least I learn the most by doing, right? So like I try things out and I see if there is something, if it's something that I like, then I'll continue doing it. If it's something I don't like, then I will probably come up with the exit plan and I will exit that, right? So I think it's with many things in life, right? Like you won't know if you like something unless you know, unless you try it, right? So it's kind of like, you know, trying new, you know, dishes, new food. Like if you don't know, like if you like it or not, you don't know if it tastes good or not until you actually put it in your mouth, right? So
that's what she said.
Yeah, right? So like the same with, you know, choosing a job or, you know, a career, because really, you know, like I have started the literally new life in my 20s. Like when I moved to the States, I was 21, right? And then I started a new life yet again when COVID happened in my 30s, right? So I don't want like your listeners to think that, oh my God, you know, like I'm, you know, 25 and I'm doing this job and this is it. Like I, this is my life now. Like you can start whenever, you can be 50 and start, you know, like a new job, new life, new career, whatever, right? So don't let the age, you know, define your future, right? So,
yeah. So I want to reiterate something really important in what Lana said when she said that don't let your age define, you know, how or when you start, and don't let that discourage you. I think that if you are in your quest to pursue freedom, basically all of these other statistical data, your place, your location, your age, your nationality, you know, obviously Lana and I have done a lot of business in the United States with American clients all over the world. And one thing that we have in common is we actually come from countries that are really, really poor, like really low GDP. And you would net, like the income that we make right now is probably, you know, in our country is probably like the top 0.01%, just because that is how like poor or, you know, underdeveloped or, you know, our countries are. And so the opportunities that we will talk about here, they're not just for people who have gone to America or any like super well-developed country, because just like how her career basically blossomed after the pandemic, the world is so much more open now. And we have like newer tools like AI, you know, that can be another discussion. So don't be discouraged. And the important thing to take away from what she said is don't let, you know, statistical data, like your location, where you come from, don't let these things stop you, because there is always a way around it if you want it enough. So for me personally, I would say, you know, my personal criteria in choosing what you want to do for a living is definitely that balance between what you like doing and what people would pay for. And I think this is a very, very simple formula, because we love doing a lot of stuff, but I really don't follow that advice of like, find what you love and build it and they will come. Yeah, like that's a lie.
It is a lie. No, absolutely.
Yeah, because
you're passionate about eating, but hey, not many people will pay. I mean, some would probably.
Yeah, I like eating. Yeah, maybe we can be the live streamers, the mukbang. The mukbang live stream.
I know. I watch a lot of it on YouTube.
they get paid to eat. Yeah, they get paid to eat on YouTube. Like, oh my gosh, I think I'm just gonna close my business like after this podcast.
We can like create like OnlyFans, but like, you know, for like people actually paying us, you know, watching. I think that would be great.
I know. I was actually gonna start an OnlyFans before, but it was just like me eating pork chops. I think I had like three friends. Yeah. wanted to pay for it. Yeah, it was just me eating pork chops, like you know, grilled pork chops, breaded pork chops. Anyway, it was my mentor said it was a bad business idea, so I didn't.
I wouldn't listen to him anyways or her, and just I would try it and see how it goes, you know.
Maybe this is why I don't have freedom. Oh gosh. Yeah. So anyway, going back to my point, I hope you didn't just like crave pork chops just now. I should definitely get an affiliate link here for like a fucking meat store. Yeah, right. Make me your brand ambassador. But like, I think there's a line, or, you know, there's that intersection between what you like doing and what people want to pay for. And then the other really valuable thing that I also got from what Lana shared is that sometimes you also stumble into these opportunities, and there is no shame in doing a little bit of trial and error. Of course, try to be as safe as you can, like maybe save a little bit or have a little bit of a financial cushion in case you fail in that thing. And most of all, there's no shame in failing. Like, failure is not an icky word.
You actually, if anything, that's how you learn things, right? Like, absolutely. Actually, failing, you have to fail. Like, if you don't fail, you don't do it right. Like, that's how you learn, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, in our quest for freedom, there it is built with a lot of hurdles, a lot of stop signs, a lot of failures. So, you know, to make our listeners really realize this, Lana, can you share maybe one or two stories of failure that got you to the life of freedom that you have right now?
Oh, yeah, I have so many. I don't know.
You need a tequila shot.
I would probably say a bottle. Oh, goddamn bottle. I mean, there's so many failures, right, that basically kind of helped me to get where I'm at right now, right? So when I stumble into copywriting and with, you know, like becoming, first of all, even like choosing like what to do for a living when the entire world was shut down, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't leave the house and like, you know, all of that stuff, like my business, fitness business got shut down, all of that stuff. So like first, like choosing like what to do, right? Like copywriting was the thing that I stumbled on. And mm-hmm. then, you know, choosing, okay, like what type of copywriter do I want to be, right? So like it was mostly the, you know, writing emails, right? But then again, like I was trying to do everything and I did not know like what to choose, right? So, and then when I got super overwhelmed with so many choices and like I was just like crying in bed and be like, oh my God, like I'm not good at anything. Mm-hmm. And my mentor was like, well, you gotta choose one thing, right? Like you cannot like try to do everything and be good at everything, right? So that was kind of like the first thing. Then, you know, I chose the emails and so forth and so on. Then it's like choosing, you know, clients to work with, right? And then when you're starting out, especially when you need, you know, to make money yesterday, like I did, because unlike, you know, some people, I did not have rich parents or, you know, parents living nearby. My mom still lives in Belarus. I couldn't mm-hmm. just like go to her and like live at her house, whatever, right? I didn't have any savings. I was very deep in debt and I had a bunch of student loans. So like I needed to make money yesterday. So I was taking on every single client. And that taught me, you know, which was obviously a mistake in a sense, because most of those people really did not respect my work, didn't respect me, right? They didn't respect the services that I was providing to them and the amount of money I was making them. So that taught me how to be choosy in terms of like who I work with, right? Like, you know, the watching out for the red flags and, you know, so forth and so on. So kind of like, I know it sounds a little bit broad and whatnot, but just like all of those, the mistakes that I've made along the way now helped me to get where I'm at right now, right? So hope that was.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's going to be, you know, there's going to be nightmare clients. Mm-hmm. There's going to be moments when you feel like, oh my gosh, I was so stupid. Why did I say that? Why did I send that email? Oh my God, this package, I totally undersold myself. This should be $10,000, but I told him it was $2,000. So there's going to be a lot of moments that are like that. And you guys just have to be okay with it, because if the path to freedom was super easy, everybody would be doing it and we would be a much, much freer world.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's like, the thing is like, you know, everybody wants to live a life of freedom. Everyone wants to travel, you know, everyone wants to, you know, have like a safety net, you know, like maybe like, you know, spend more time with their family, whatever. But really is, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes a lot of discipline, and sometimes it takes a lot of being willing to make mistakes. I think that's right. Probably because, like, you know, I don't know about you, but like I know myself and like some of my girlfriends, there's thing of like, I want to do everything perfect, right? And like, yeah. I don't want to make mistakes, and like, right. I have to be like, not just good enough, I have to be like, the best at like writing, right. or doing. But really, like, nothing is perfect in this life, right? And you could be just good enough and make a good amount of money. There are a lot of, as I call them, rich idiots that are not smarter than you. They're not, more perfect than you are. They just like know the systems and the formulas that work. And they also were willing to try a bunch of things and fail along the way. So don't be afraid. And, mistakes are sometimes could be fun. Then you'll be like, go out with your girlfriend and be like, well, I did that thing. And then, you tell the story and then you have a good laugh together and that's it, and just kind of move on.
Yeah, I even love those moments. It kind of even bonds you more.
Yeah, exactly.
You learn from each other and you just laugh about this thing over and over again, like 3, 5, 10, like years later, you were like, hey, remember that time when I did this and I did this job for this client? And this translates to any other industry out there. And I think the other thing that was that stood out to me from Lana's advice is having a really good support system is also something that you guys should work on. Along the way, there's also a lot of failures in finding friends that your circle, your circle of friends and basically your ride and die, right? Lana and I, we've been friends for, I think, like technically like less than a year, but because we live in the same
city. You guys, we're not friends at all.
We're not friends. No, I'm just waiting for the perfect chance to scam her, actually. After that, I'm blocking her, like, fuck this bitch. Right. But we became so close so quickly because we've recognized a lot of our similar struggles and successes in business. And of course, there's those little laughs about the people that we don't, vibe with and how we get really conscious and intentional about picking the people in our circle. And we had the same experience. Both of our businesses started to get easier and better when we started to perfect and become intentional with the people around us. So yeah, I want you guys to also invest time in that, in your journey to freedom. So when I was younger, I always mentioned that there are three kinds of freedoms. Freedom, your financial freedom, mm-hmm. freedom of location, and freedom from the opinions of others. And, I know you're a brave soul, Lana. So how do you deal with the last part? How do you deal with achieving the freedom from the opinions of others, from people telling you that you're going to die single and sad and... and stuff like that, or you're never gonna be financially secure because you don't have a real job. Like, how do you deal with those things?
Such a great question. Well, okay, so I would say that for some reason, not to sound very sexist or feminist or whatever, because I'm not like none of the things, but for women especially, it's just like I hear these things all the time, especially like I'm in my 30s and the opinions of others of like, when are you gonna settle down, when are you gonna have kids, when are you gonna get married, all that stuff. And don't get me wrong, like I don't want your viewers to think that I'm just like have this wall and I'm like I don't really give a flying fart about other people's opinions. Sometimes it like I'll let the whatever people say into my head and I start doubting myself. Like I've done it many times. But I think because I've done it so many times and I honestly got freaking tired of letting other people dictate what I can and cannot do. So I think it's more so just believing and knowing, like looking back at all the things that you have done, right? At least like in my regard, being an immigrant, kind of like looking at all the achievements that I've done and be like, people told me I couldn't do it, but here I am, right? Like I had a story for you. I have I used to have a teacher back in the days, and she, like, back home we have two languages, right? Two native languages. So there is Russian, there is Belarusian, right? Which are different languages. They're not the same. Anyway, so we had, you know, like a Russian language teacher and Belarusian language teacher. And so the Belarusian language teacher, she would always tell me that I will absolutely not achieve anything in life. Like, I'll...
What?
Yeah, she would be like, you know, you and I was a troubled child, you know, like I was a nightmare. Like, I'll give her that. But she would always tell me that, you know, I was a horrible writer, that, you know, I just did not have any talent. I was stupid, you know, and that in a way kind of like lit up fire up my ass. And for the longest time, the sort of like, I'm going to show you. The idea, like, you know, I'm going to show her like what I can do and what I can achieve was a big motivator. Now, this is also not healthy because you kind of get caught up in that as well. Honestly, it's really hard to like not let, you know, other people's opinion to get into your head. Yeah. But really, ultimately, the thing is, it is your life and it's on you to live it the way you want it to live, right? Like, because let's say 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, whoever told you whatever they told you, they're not going to be alive. So it's not going to matter at all. Like, we're all going to die anyways, right? And I know it sounds a little bit morbid, but, you know, like, who cares what, you know, your high school friend Susie thinks about you, you know, today, 20 years from now? Who give a damn about it, right? So just kind of like reminding myself that this is my life. I only live once. And honestly, I don't want to get old, you know, when I'm 100 years old, when I'm like, it's my last day on earth, like lay there and think, oh my God, like, you know, why did I get, you know, all of those other people's opinions like into my head? Mm-hmm. And why did I try? So that's my sort of biggest way of like trying to not let other people's opinions get into my head. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work all the time, but the more often I do it, the better it works.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That's, I'm sorry about that. Your experience. It seems like some people say things and they don't know how much it wounds other yeah. people. I also have a really good friend, really close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And her mom was just like so emotionally abusive. And her mom did that to her, saying things like, if you don't take up this course in college, you're never going to be successful. You're never going to like find a guy that will love you. You're going to die young and alone. And she just like, it was so weird because she was like her mother. And so it was just so effed up. And until now, my friend would like, is really depressed and she it's hard for her to make like meaningful relationships with others. You know, she has her like five friends that really, really deep friendship with her, including me. And then it's hard for her to make new friends. It's hard for her to get into a relationship. It's hard for her to start a business. So everything's hard for her just because of that like interaction, or not just interaction, it's an experience probably going on for years. But I think we should all be more mindful on the words that we say to others. And if you're on the receiving end, I want you to also try to do your best to be strong enough to put your good intentions and your goals first before other people's opinions and other people's words. Because if I was to follow even like what my exes told me before, they would just say things. I dated someone who looked down on me because I didn't have quote unquote a regular income. And this guy like went to Penn State. This guy was in the sailing varsity. He definitely grew up like in a rich family. They had like a winery or something, I forgot. But like he always thought that my businesses were real. And because I was doing a lot of work on social media, he just thought that it was just like fake, or I was just like an influencer and I didn't know what I was doing. And it was so weird. But you know, guys, these things can come into your life unannounced. And in the topic of freedom, it could affect your journey to freedom and whatever you're working on that you feel would give you freedom, and they would kind of like ruin it or put a hurdle to it. So I just want you guys to like stay strong. So
one thing that I would want to add to that, if I may, is that I think the hardest part to do actually is not even being free of like, you know, allowing other people's opinions, you know, affect your life, but really is the self-judgment, like the talk that we, you know, I don't know about you, like a lot of times, you know, like I'll have the, you know, let's say, you know, like I did something and failed, you know, like the self-talk, the self-conversation or the conversation I have with myself is very, very negative, right? And so that also affects the way you also think about how other people think about you. And maybe somebody said something and they didn't really mean what you thought that they did mean. So right. Just kind of like being really, not only talking to other people, but also being very cautious about how you talk about to yourself, right? About yourself and to yourself, right? So, because that is also extremely important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Self-talk is very, is a really big way, or is a really big factor in how we view ourselves, you know, in front of the mirror every morning and how we feel. And that dictates the quality of work that we do for that day and the quality of relationships that we will have on that day. So I love that you pointed that out, because sometimes our greatest bullies are ourselves.
That is very true. Yeah.
And we can't see it. Yeah. We can't see it. Like a little share, you know, a little TMI. Like I used to be like really, really insecure that I could not, like, before for many, many years, even though I think I look good and other people tell me I look good and my body looks good, I could not have sex like with the lights on or something like that for many years. I was just really insecure.
Oh, you missed out on a lot, girl.
and now I have sex everywhere.
Everywhere.
That is real freedom, guys. Take notes.
Yeah, that is actually the definition of real freedom. I mean, have sex anywhere, anytime. Lights on or off, doesn't matter.
Yeah, so maybe I need a little more bullying, or I need a little more depression in my life.
Yes, I guess so.
Just kidding. So let's move to a more like lighter topic. So Lana, how do you structure your day? So you mentioned that you're a copywriter. You don't just also write copy for all these big brands. You also help other copywriters get better as copywriters and as business people in treating their copywriting business as a real business and growing it as such. And I know you're also coaching people who want to make the transition from having maybe a regular 9-to-5 or maybe another job into copywriting, and approaching that in such a way that it's not intimidating, it's not very risky, and giving them the best guidance possible. So you have all these like multiple facets of your work life and basically your life. So how do you structure your day? What does it look like in the day of Lana Sova?
Oh, I can write a whole book about it. No, just kidding. No. Right now that, you know, like since I've sort of transitioned into also helping other people to step into the world of copywriting and actually claim their full-time freedom, it's been in the way that I have, you know, like the people that I help, you know, like I do feedbacks on their copy and that stuff. But I, because I genuinely enjoy doing that, it's actually quite fun. So I actually don't start my days until 9 a.m., although I do wake up pretty early. And the reason for that is because in order for me to be able to serve other people, which ultimately that's what I do, right? Even as a copywriter or, you know, a coach, is helping people. In order for me to be able to be present and help the best I can, I have to make sure that my both mental, you know, and spiritual sort of aspects of myself, you know, aligned. So I usually wake up at around 5:36 in the morning. I either will go for a run or I'll go to the beach and I'll see the sunrise, which I love doing. I'll meditate. And then I'll come home, I'll read a book, I'll journal. Sounds very Playa del Carmen, but here we are.
Sounds very
but I do believe that is very important just because. So now I'm actually doing puzzles because I read all the books that I could bring with me from the States the last time I came back. So, and then I start work. And usually I, and here's a pro tip for anyone who is trying to get into copywriting and maybe like trying to land clients. I usually do work on my business the first 1 to 3 hours of a day. You know, this is like my goals come first. Right. And then I go, you know, then I take care of my students and then I take care of my clients. And for any client who is listening, I'm very sorry. Just kidding. But usually that's how I structure my day. Now, sometimes as a life of a business owner, you know how it is, you know, SHIT hits the fan and you have to put out fires and things happen. And, you know, the day does not go to plan at all, but that's life, right? If you have children, you know how it is. Just like things happen. but yeah. And usually in terms of like writing copy, because I've been doing that for like 3 years and I know the structures and I've developed, you know, formulas, how to be able to write pretty much emails or leads or Facebook ads quickly, as in like 20 minutes, I don't actually do, like, it doesn't take me long to write or do anything like client related. So like emails, like I can write 10 emails in like maybe 2 hours, right? So in that regard, client work is very easy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the feedbacks for like coaching and that stuff, that is also, you know, very enjoyable. So time usually flies. But yeah. And then after, you know, all the work stuff, I either will go out with you or, you know, other friends, or we'll go and do yoga, you know, on the rooftop. Yeah. You know, or I'll travel somewhere. And yeah, it really depends. But it's always fun and surprising. That I'll tell that much.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about my life too. Like, there is a lot of space for surprises, mm-hmm. and opportunities to deepen relationships with people around you. Like, even, you know, my boyfriend and I, even like we're super duper busy, we would find like even like 5 minutes and we would talk, kind of check in, or maybe like a long hug or something like that. But like, even mm-hmm. finding these pockets of your day where you can come back to yourself and be human again, read a book, you know, pick up a book, yes. or watch a, like a funny cat video, you know, like all these things, maybe, you know, water your plants and do these other things that remind you that you're a whole person outside of your job. I think that's also a really, really important yeah. part of freedom, and a really good way, or a really good reason to always pursue freedom. Now for me, hashtag shameless plug, I found my business out in outsourcing to be really rewarding because I help people achieve more freedom in their lives. Like, it's usually the people who come to me are usually like overworked and burnt out entrepreneurs and founders, and they're visionaries and they can't stop working on their business because they haven't delegated or automated properly, and they don't have SOPs, and they don't know how to hire, and they don't know where to hire, and they just don't know how to onboard. So for me, you know, I have this experience every single day. I talk to these people every single day. And for them, it's, you know, whatever reason they say, it's, you know, in finally starting to work with me or with us, it's always tied to freedom and a way to enjoy their lives more. So freedom really gives you a way to enjoy your life more. It gives you a richer experience. And as you said earlier, that, you know, when you're older, I want to do things that I don't regret, or I want to have the least amount of regrets as possible. Maybe that's a better criteria, right? What do you think?
Totally. Well, I think regrets will always happen, right? So like when I was a fitness instructor, right? Like I had, like I trained women, right? And so I remember like 50% of my clients were women with children, and then 50% of my clients were women without children, right? And they're like 50, 60, 70s. And I always had conversations with both camps, right? And women who had no children, you know, some of them regretted that. And then women who did have children also regret that. So I don't think there is a life without regret, but there is definitely a way to live your life where towards the end, when you like come close to, you know, being done here, you at least know that, hey, you know what? Like, yes, there are some regrets, but it's a very minimal amount. And that is, you know, like living the life that is, you know, free of a lot of things, but also allows you to do things that you want to do, right? Like an example would be, I've always wanted to try Krav Maga, but I just couldn't, right? And then now I have, you know, a personal trainer come to me 3 times a week, and he just, like, you know, shows me things, you know, or like being able to just like wanting to go somewhere, you know, traveling, and just like booking a ticket and like calling your best friend, be like, hey, do you want to go to Barcelona? Let's go tomorrow. And, you know, you buy a ticket and you go. Right. So like, because I remember, like, I used to, like, when I was a, you know, trainer, like, I used to be in the camp where, like, I really wanted to go, and I saw my friends going to places and traveling and doing things, and I just could not. And I could not either because I didn't have money, or because I didn't have time, or because, you know, like, for whatever other reason.
Right.
And I know how it felt, right? Like, to not be able to do what you so desperately want to do. So, I guess, you know, like, that's another reason, you know, to at least thrive, to try to, you know, reach your full-time freedom, whatever that means to you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also important for people to never give up on that journey. Like, there's really, like what you said earlier in the first part of this podcast, like, there's no, like, perfect time. Well, the perfect time is now. The perfect time is really now.
The perfect
now.
Time was, like, 20 years ago. You know, the perfect time on the trip was 20 years ago. The second perfect time is actually today, you know?
Yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it just sometimes boggles me how there are a lot of people who complain about their lives, and yet they also don't make the steps to at least get them closer to the life that they want. They're always, like, so afraid. I think fear definitely is a huge thing. I think the other thing is kind of like being so close to comfort and having certain ideas in your childhood that built your major life values. Like, when I was a kid, even though my mom actually was kind of like a more a freelance salesperson. Like, she used to sell Avon, and then she started selling appliances, and then she started selling real estate. So she just kind of moved up to whatever was a more expensive thing to sell. But my mom was always like pursuant of freedom. And my dad, he had a job all of his life, actually in one company. He was definitely like that regular guy who just wanted, like, his salary. He was happy, you know, his salary, his benefits, just, he just was a regular guy. But he had a lot of pride in it. Of course, he was great at his job. However, he was also always very vocal about wanting to start a business. But you know, for me, looking back, it's still, I still feel a little sad that my dad never, you know, took the jump, because he was really vocal about his desire for freedom, wanting to start a business. But of course, if you're a dad and you have 3 kids, maybe it's just not that easy. And you know, and I will never know how that would feel, right? But I think right now, with the internet, with the world being more open, you know, a lot of our borders now, digital nomad visas. So I think a lot of the people now have, like, more options. So I just kind of wonder about these things. What about you, Lana? What are some things about freedom or achieving freedom that kind of confuse you about people, or was always mysterious to you about life, or about how other people view freedom?
Well, I mean, the thing is also, I would agree with you that a lot of people are afraid, right? So and they're not really afraid of, they're actually afraid of freedom, because it's a lot of, it's kind of like, you know, let's say you want to learn how to swim, right? And then want to, like, actually learn how to swim, and you go, like, the first time you go into the ocean, you're like, holy crap, this is, like, you know, it's scary out there. I know how to swim, but if I swim a little too far, right, like, what if there are sharks, you know, like, it's whatever. So I think, you know, it's like, it's being, like, afraid of actual freedom, like, what it's my life is going to be like, you know, like, am I going to have the same friends, you know, like, are they going to support me? Do I have to find different type of friends, right? So it's like, because the success comes with also responsibilities, right? And like, and you have different stuff to sort of worry about. So I think in that way, like, I understand people who are afraid to go after, you know, their freedom and reclaim their freedom. But I would also say that in the world that we live right now, there's so many opportunities. You know, there are kids, you know, 20 years old, like 16 years old, that making a lot of money because of the internet, right?
Right.
So to me, like, I understand the fear. Mm-hmm. I, you know, sort of sympathize and empathize with that. However, if you really, truly want, you know, at least try and, you know, go and do it. Okay. Now, I understand that sometimes, you know, like your dad, for example, you have a family and it's much harder to do. But I also know people who, even with families, you know, like when they really wanted to get out of whatever situation, or right, if they wanted to go towards freedom, they were able to do things, you know, like on the weekends or maybe at night. Like there's got to be some sacrifice, right, to right, happen. Like I wish, you know, you just like decided to like manifest, like, you know, your I don't know, 6-7 figure, you know, right, like, said the things into the universe, and then you wake up and bam, it happens, you know. Although sometimes it works, you still have to put in, you know, the hours, and there's got to be the sacrifice. So I wouldn't, like, I used to be, and that's like a full transparency, like, I used to be very judgmental of like people who just like would say things or complain and be like, oh my God, you know, like, it like must be nice to be you, or like must be nice to have a life like yours. Mm-hmm. And it used to like bug me a lot, because I was like, well, you know nothing about where I came from, you know, like how I got to where I'm at. But I don't judge people like that right now anymore, because I understand that they come mostly from, like, they basically, they don't judge me, they judge themselves, because they know that they want it, but they're afraid to actually step up and do stuff. The thing, like, with, like, even, yeah, so it's mostly, like, the fear. So I try to be very understandable of that. And if somebody asks me a question, I will answer that, but I would not be, like, super pushy and be like, well, you're, you know, lazy bum, like, why don't you do X, Y, Z, right? Yeah. So, and I also try not to surround myself with people who complain a lot about this situation, but they don't do anything, because that tells me a lot about the person, and also it will drag me down with them, and yeah, I don't want to be there, you know?
No, absolutely. I'm with you on that. And I love the point that you made about people generally sometimes being afraid of success or afraid of their own success. It's like this conversation about being rich, right? Like, we have a lot of things that we need to fix about money and how we view money. And that affects our subconscious, and eventually it makes its way to our reality. And a lot of people are actually, you know, they complain about not being rich or not having money, but maybe deep down they are actually afraid to get rich, because maybe they have these, they've been inundated by these images of rich people that are not kind, they are arrogant, and maybe they grew up with rich people around them who made their money in not a good way. And these are kind of the role models that they were able to see or something like that. So, you know, there could be other factors that we really need to work on in terms of how we view things, and how we, you know, in terms of really getting to know our fears too. So, yeah. One example that it always fascinates me is how more than 50% of Americans don't have a passport. And America being it's crazy.
I get that part.
It's crazy. This fact always is so mind-boggling, because for you and I, like, the this hole of the needle that we had to go through just to come to America and do being able to do business in the States, or, you know, now we have the internet, so you can really do anything. You can really do a lot. Even if you don't leave your country, basically. But for us, when we, you know, and my sister is an immigrant, so for people like us, like, you know, we work so hard to really pursue our idea of freedom, or maybe a stepping stone to personal mm-hmm. freedom. And yet there's these other people who, you know, maybe just like complaining, and even though they had this like big opportunity of just being born in the right country, and then they're unhappy, and then they stay in jobs that they're unhappy about, and then they whine about the people around them, but they never, like, they never ever take the step. So if you guys listen to my podcast regularly, I also would love for you to check out that episode with Mo Gaius. We talked about discipline, and one of the things he said was, in order for you to achieve better discipline in your life, you really need to change your environment. And part of that is like, just make the move. Get out of your hometown, get out of your country if you have to, and find a place that gives you a better chance of freedom, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I was actually going to mention that, like, the environment is huge, because, you know, like, I have friends, even in Boston, who, you know, they were born and raised there. And, you know, like, they see me travel, you know, everywhere, literally everywhere. And they, like, you know, make snarky comments. But then when I ask them, like, well, why don't you travel? Well, I don't have a passport. Like, why don't you have a passport? Like, you know, just like, well, you know, I never. So like, and like, when you start like digging deeper, like, then you realize that like, all of their friends don't have passports. All of their friends, you know, like, come home after work, you know, like, grab a beer and like, kind of sit there and like, watch TV or whatever. So the environment is huge. Now, I don't want to sound like, you know, judgmental or whatever, but really, like, the first step is to get out of the environment, find the people who at least like-minded like you are, right? And especially right now with the Facebook groups and, you know, like, all of the opportunities that are there, there are people who, you know, they might look to their friends like they're, you know, like the black sheep, whatever, you know, for like doing whatever they want to do. But it's okay, be that, because really, you know, it's like, you will be judged a lot along the journey to your freedom. I will tell you that much. And sometimes the judgment is going to be good. Sometimes, most of the time it won't be, but really it doesn't really matter. Like, if you really are tired of living, you know, or seeing the other people live the life that you want to have, you have to get out of the environment and like start making steps towards, you know, the life that you want to have and the life that you truly deserve, because it's possible, it's there. You just have to like get up and, you know, make the first step, really.
In fact, according to our world's greatest philosopher, Britney Spears, why don't you do something?
Exactly, right? Why don't you do something?
Yeah, I'm so with you on that. Like, I, you know, I love my friends, and they do, like, I give them advice when they ask, but sometimes there's just a moment where it gets so tiring because they're not even doing something about their lives. And then, like you said, like, you slowly kind of get out of that circle, because like, what am I even doing with these people? I love being around people who are full of growth and are positive and do things that they said they would and are running towards something that's good or running towards greatness. I was actually watching two separate videos in the past 2 days. One was by Jordan Peterson and the other one was by Tony Robbins. And it was so crazy how I just stumbled upon these videos randomly on YouTube, and they discussed the same thing. And then they said that the best cure for anxiety and depression is running towards greatness. And I think that also kind of translates to running towards what is your ideal life, or what is the life that will give you more freedom, or that will give you like just that zest of being excited to wake up in the morning again or something like that. And that really stuck in my head. And they even did studies on it. They compared it to like Zoloft, to even mushrooms, like other forms of therapy. And they discovered that having a goal and running towards something positive is really like the best way to cure depression and anxiety.
Well, one thing that I will add to that is, I think when people think about, you know, like setting up a goal, especially right now, you know, like we're in the early, you know, Q1 of 2023, you know, people like setting up goals or whatever, I would suggest, and this is something that I started doing and I've learned it from a mentor of mine, you know, Alan Sultanich, is, you know, people want, usually people set up a goal that is either, you know, like related to like finances, right? So like, I want to make, you know, 10K a month, or I want to make, you know, like 50K a month, or, you know, I want to lose like 20 pounds or whatever. Try to, those goals are great, but I would suggest like, try to think about the feeling that that goal will give you, right? And when you actually think about that feeling, when you try to think about that feeling and imagine how it feels when you're there, you will have so much more chances of actually succeeding and leading to and getting to that goal. So yeah, try to think of like, what like if you're gonna, I don't know, like lose 20 pounds, like how it's gonna feel, like what you're gonna, like how you're gonna feel when you, like, you know, put on a, you know, what is it, like a black dress, whatever, you know, jeans that you bought, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, or like what, how it's gonna feel when you actually make 10K a month, you know, like what things are you gonna be able to buy, what things are you gonna be able to do, and what are those things gonna make you feel like, you know? So it's the feeling. The secret is the feeling. I think it's the Neville Goddard, great book. You can find it on YouTube. It's more into like a woo-woo stuff, manifestation, but really just start with like thinking about what that goal is gonna make you feel like once you reach that goal.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely love that. Even just visualizing your goal actually tricks your brain into thinking that it's happening, right? It's the reality. And that gives you like really good feelings, and it reminds you of this future that you can definitely achieve, you know, and that's always a good feeling. And that is also a really good way to motivate you. So as we approach, like, you know, the end of this podcast, Lana, I want to really, really share to people here moving forward, you know, how do you inspire, how you help others to pursue personal freedom? What are the things that you can help them with? And of course, I would love to also let them know about this book that you wrote, which is Full-Time Freedom Formula. Triple F.
Yeah, triple F. Formula. I love the F words, all of them.
She loves the F words.
Mainly food, though.
Yes. And so, yeah, so tell us about your book as well, and how can we buy this so that we can fortify, that's another F word, fortify our journey to freedom.
Well, you know, mainly the formula is like from like me telling people stop being lazy and actually do stuff. Just kidding. But that's how I actually was like one of the top, you know, best fucking, excuse me, trainers at the gym. You just stop telling people like how to be, you know, stop being lazy. But no, just kidding. So yeah, I wrote the book that is called The Full-Time Freedom Formula, where I basically share my journey on being completely new to copywriting to becoming a six-figure copywriter in my first year. Mm-hmm. And it's the formula that allows pretty much anyone who can write a simple email. Like if you've ever written and sent an email in your life, you can become an email copywriter and actually make, you know, six figure. So that's the book that I share. With the book, there are a bunch of bonuses. But one of the things that I think your readers might actually really appreciate is the community that I've created. So that people who want to achieve their freedom, their full-time freedom, they have a place, a safe place where they can actually go into, ask all the questions, you know, talk about, yes, we talk about copy and emails and how to land clients and well, whatnot, but we'll also talk about the mindset stuff, right? We talk about the failures, you know, the fear of success and all that stuff. So, that comes with the book. So if you want to get the book, you can go to the full-time freedomformula.com, and that's where you'll find the book and everything else. Also feel free to add me on Facebook. I am not on Instagram, but you can find me on Facebook as Lana Sova. That's where you also can find the book, and you can also ask Carla and she also will tell you where to find the book.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to buy her book, guys, just go to fulltimefreedomformula.com. And how much is the book, Lana? And what would you say, give us like a little bit of teaser. What are like the top three highlights of the book?
So there are a bunch of highlights of the book, right? So I basically share what are the types of copy there are, right? So like I talk about the email copywriting, the Facebook, Facebook, like ads, you know, sales pages, whatever. I also share what is the easiest way to get into this field, which is becoming an email copywriter. Mm-hmm. I share exactly how to land your first client. Like literally, I share even like this script, like how you can do that, where to go. I also share with you how to find the right clients for a beginner, because this is one of the mistakes that novice copywriters make. They go for wrong people, for wrong clients, and then they end up just never actually getting a client. And then I also share, there is quite a good amount of like mindset stuff, but that aside, there is a chapter where I share, if you have a full-time job, let's say if you have like 9 to 5, I also share how you can basically practice and master the skill of copywriting, even if you have a 9 to 5 job in like 20 minutes a day. So it's very simple, very easy. The book comes with a bunch of bonuses. I think they're like 5 or 6. One of them is the community, and then for others, I don't really remember. But the book is $5.99. It's pretty much, you know, like a cup of coffee at Starbucks, but it can actually be your first step towards your full-time freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely check that book out, fulltimefreedomformula.com. Is that right? That's a domain?
Yes, ma'am.
Full-time freedom. And if you put fulltimefreedomformula.com/Carla, you will get free pictures of me eating pork chops, like we discussed in the beginning of this podcast.
Absolutely. I am actually going to go and get the book because I want to have the pictures of Carla eating the pork chops.
Yes. So add the slash Carla. No, I'm just kidding. But definitely, yeah, I would love if you guys like check that out. Obviously, it's such a low risk. It's just $5.99 US dollars, which is like, you know, the price of my OnlyFans. So maybe don't buy her book and subscribe. No, I'm just kidding. Guys, I don't have an OnlyFans.
Yes. Oh, she does.
Only feet. It's just pictures of my feet. But I think it's for $5.99, you can learn a lot of like mindset lessons. You can learn this brand new business opportunity. And I feel like, you know, that's the price of a movie. And how many times have you wasted your money on a bad movie? So it's really like a no-brainer, and you don't just really get a book and get nothing after it. You also get this community of people who are in the same journey as you. And of course, you get to have, you know, kind of Lana just overseeing that community as well and being present there. And if you
always
need,
there answering questions.
She's always there. That's why she never comes to our nights out. She's just in her community, obsessed.
Always in the community, always there talking to people because I don't really like Carla. I'd rather talk to you guys.
I will delete that part out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. We're genuine here, authentic. But yeah, definitely go to her website and check the book out. It's a really low price to pay for to see what else is out there. You know, I would say that. We're not going to promise you ultimate freedom. We're not going to promise you a six-figure job. But it is a good way, and it's such a meaningful investment to make in yourself and to show yourself today that you finally have the courage to take a bet on yourself. And if this little purchase, this little $6 purchase is that thing for you today, then so be it, right? Tomorrow, maybe it's finally telling your partner that you're not happy anymore. Maybe the next day it's about trying a new dish or picking up the guitar again.
Having sex with the lights on. I mean, you never know.
Sex with a lion, actually. But maybe for today you can just take that little step for yourself, because you owe it to yourself to check out these ways where you can achieve freedom in a way that Lana has achieved it, and in a way that you also get guidance. Because for me, my whole journey to freedom is just me stumbling through the dark and then something worked out. But if I had a book like this, and if I had a little bit of guide from someone that also did the journey in a way that was kind of really, really similar to me, actually, I think it would have been so valuable, and it would have saved me a lot more heartaches and even money, actually, afterwards. Yeah. So definitely get the book, guys. And Lana, how can people find you? How can people follow your story? Or how can people, you know, if they want to make the jump and just like, Lana, I need your help right now. I just want you to help me figure this out. I don't want to just buy your book. I need more help than that. How can they reach you?
I do have a course that I also offer in the mentorship program. But if you ever need help, you can always reach out to me on Facebook. I also have the email list where you could also, I share a bunch of stuff there. People absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And all of that you can find, just like find me on Facebook, because that's where I'm mostly at hanging out. Send me a message and we can talk about it. I would say this, the reason I don't really talk about the mentorship, because that is something that is a through application process. Like there is a pretty vigorous, kind of selection process, I'll just put it that way, because I do appreciate people who actually willing to do work and want to do that. But in terms of the course and whatnot, the only way to get to the course is through the book. And the reason for that is because I share a lot of things in the book, right? And then the course is basically helps you to take what you've learned in the book and put it into practice so you can actually start landing clients. And I have, students who have done that. They went through the book, then they went through the course, and then now they are, working with the first, couple of clients in a fairly short period of time. But I would say if you just kind of learning about opportunities, what copywriting is, the book would be a very, very good start. And then if you have any more questions, feel free to reach out to me and I'll help you and we'll guide you through later on.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much. Definitely find Lana on social media, Lana Sova. It is spelled as you say it. So there you can't misspell Lana and Sova. So unless you're really dumb, so maybe don't be a copywriter. Just kidding.
a way to help people out, eh?
I'm traumatizing them already. But yeah, thank you so much, Lana, for jamming with us today. I had a really, really good conversation. And thank you so much for your stories. And to everyone, see you next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye.
Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.